Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Hey everybody, so wonderful. Today we are jumping into Proverbs chapter 26. Let's do our intro together. Let's have some fun. Let's press into the text. Let's make the comments live. But I just want to say hello, put it on the registry. We should. I agree, Lynetta. We should. See, that's why you have to have smart people around you. And everyone said amen. Okay, let's do our intro. Let's say hello to all of our people watching later on. And then let's all jump in together. So, hey, what's going on, everybody? So excited that you're joining us for our Zoom soap. And I know so many of us are watching later on via our many, many platforms. Today, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 26 as we unpack the book of wisdom. Wow. And we have had so many great speakers unpack so many great topics that I've heard about over the past few weeks. Just hearing about how God is speaking to our church, how God is speaking to you has been absolutely inspirational. So if you're live with us right now, and you are here on Zoom, come on, wave your hand, say hello, say good morning inside of the chat. So great to see you. So great to be on with you. It's like the real ones at 6 a.m. We all just rub the crusties out of our eyes. We drink as much coffee as we can, and we press into the word together. And everybody said amen. But very excited to be on with you. As always, if you're live on Zoom with us, if you have a verse that stands out to you, share it inside of the chat. Love to see how God is speaking to you. If you have a question, we will railroad everything to answer the questions you may have. So let's pray, and we're going to jump right on in to Proverbs chapter 26. So Father, thank you that you've given us this text. You've given us a book of wisdom so that we could see the way and walk in the way that you have made for our lives. So, God, we know that foolishness is information used improperly, but wisdom is information used well. So, God, I just pray that you would help us be wise today. Lord, help us to use the information circumstances around us so very well so that we can bring glory to your name, and we can live in a way that pleases you, honors you, and that we could see your goodness reign inside of our lives. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. Pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Whoo, so excited. Check it out. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 1. I am reading from the Christian Standard Bible Translation. It says, like snow in summer. Could you imagine? We're in summer right now. If we had some snow right now, let's break the heat just a little bit. And everybody said amen. Whoo, 97 degrees here yesterday. And rain in the harvest. Honor is inappropriate for a fool. Like a fleeting sparrow and a fluttering swallow, an undeserved curse goes nowhere. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools. Don't answer a fool according to folly, his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he will become wise in his own eyes. The one who sends a message by a fool's hand cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Proverb, in the mouth of a fool is like lame legs that hang limp. Giving honor to a fool is like binding a stone in a sling. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a stick with thorns brandished by the hand of a drunkard. The one who hires a fool or who hires those passing by is like an archer who wounds everyone indiscriminately. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his foolishness. Do you see a person who is wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. The soccer says there's a lion in the road, a lion in the public square. A door turns on its hinges and a slacker on his bed. The slacker buries his hand in the bowl. He is too weary to bring it to his mouth. In his own eyes, the slacker is wiser than seven who can answer sensibly. A person who is passing by and meddles in a quarrel that is not his is like one who grabs a dog by the ears, like a madman who throws flaming darts and deadly arrows. So is the person who deceives his neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Without wood, fire goes out. Without a gossip, conflict dies down. As charcoal for embers and wood for fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. A gossip's words are like choice food that goes down to the one's most innermost being. Smooth lips with an evil heart are like the glaze on an earthen vessel. A hateful person disguises himself with a speech and harbors deceit within. When he speaks graciously, don't believe him, for there are seven detestable things in his heart. Though his hatred is concealed by deception, his evil will be revealed in the assembly. The one who digs a pit will fall into it. Whoever rolls a stone, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth causes ruin. Ooh, so good. As we see once again, a book of wisdom, a chapter of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 26. As always, hey, if you're live with us, would love to hear some verses that are just standing out to you. And would love just to hear some questions from you, because I know so often when we're unpacking Proverbs, right? A proverb is a form of a teaching that's meant to impart wisdom. But sometimes we just need some understanding surrounding some of these proverbs. So if you have some confusion around any of them, you can drop inside of the chat. We'll just try and see if we can get to them during our discussion today. But one of the first things I want to look at as we dive in is verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5. So here's what they say. They say, "Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself." Verse 5 says, "Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he'll become wise in his own eyes." So those two verses seem to contradict just a little bit. If you read it, they actually say the exact opposite thing of one another. Verse 4, answer a fool according to his foolishness, and you're going to be fool yourself. Next one, answer a fool according to his foolishness, or else he's going to be wise inside of his own eyes. So what am I supposed to do, right? How many of us have sat there and just looked at ourselves in the mirror and said, "What am I supposed to do?" Both verses say something that seems wise to us, seems wise to me, seems like a smart thing to do. Because when someone's acting a fool, sometimes you have to check them in their foolishness. Come on, where, how many of us have been in our foolishness before and we needed someone to look us in our eyes and say, "Hey, you're acting a fool. Is anyone with me? Hey, you're acting a little bit crazy." Like right here. So, and listen, all husbands should have their hands up in this moment and say, "Yes, my wife has looked at me." There we go. So I'm talking about has looked at me and said, "You are crazy." And she's right. Right? So sometimes we have to answer a fool according to their foolishness. We have to step into the reality that they're in that moment. There's another reality, and that is verse 4 of what it says. Hey, don't actually answer them according to their foolishness. Let them sit in what they're doing. Let them make their mistake so they can learn from it themselves. Let the foolishness teach the fool. So, my question is this: if one verse tells us to not answer a fool according to his foolishness, and another verse tells us to answer a fool according to his foolishness, what are you supposed to do? I have just the first point for all my note takers that we could dive into this thing together. The first point that we're just going to talk about today is very simply this. We have an option when it comes to life, and especially when it comes to following Jesus. Number one is to follow or forsake. We could follow or forsake. So these two verses, they seem so very contradictory, but however, I believe that God has purpose inside of both of them. I don't believe these verses are there on accident. I don't believe that when this was being authored, that there was, I'll put it this way, I don't believe a mistake was made when they're being written. I believe that it is actually meant to sound contradictory in nature when they're being written. And here's the reason why. We need the Holy Spirit on when to know to do what and when. Come on. How many of us very simply need the Holy Spirit to guide us through the difficult situations of life? You see, neither one of these verses are wrong. I think all of us have had that moment where we step in and just say, hey, you're acting a little foolish. And we've all had those moments where we sat there and we're just saying, you know, I think I have to let them crash on this one. I think I have to let them sit inside of the consequences of their own decisions, right? So, but how do we know which one to do in what situation? When do we know, as the Bible would tell us in different areas, hey, if someone comes to you and they need help, make sure you help them, right? In the book of James, it talks about you want to make sure that we're not just looking at someone, hey, praying for you, be blessed, when we have the capability of actually doing good for someone. But then in other areas of the Bible, it says if you don't work, you don't eat. So what do you do? How do you know what to do and when? We need the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So we have an option as a Christ follower. We can either follow the Holy Spirit in our life, or we can forsake the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. So you see, this is why we need the Holy Spirit's voice in our life. And I want to tell you something. No matter where you're at in your journey with Jesus, no matter where you're at in your faith walk, I want to tell you there's a very beautiful reality. When you said yes to Jesus, when you said yes to relationship with God, the Holy Spirit made his home inside of your heart. In that moment, he said yes to you as you said yes to him. As soon as that happened, he said, I am going to intermingle myself with them. So then God is no longer far off, but instead he's with us and in us. He's always with us, which is beautiful because I don't have to try and go far off and try and figure it out somewhere, somehow to get an answer to life. But instead, the answer actually resides in me, and his name is the Holy Spirit. So for us, our necessity and dependency on the Holy Spirit himself, this is a portion of God because we have the Father, the Son, who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I want to make sure that the Holy Spirit isn't neglected today because we need him inside of our life. Come on, if you're a note taker, just put your little note right here. I need the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's the one that sanctifies us, speaks to us, and helps keep us out of trouble. How many of us need a friend to keep us out of trouble sometimes? I need like three of them to keep me out of trouble. I could get myself in some good trouble. Where are my troublemakers at? Which is why we need to forsake or follow the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the beauty. What the Holy Spirit does is he gives us wisdom and discernment. Which is why I love little areas of the Bible like this. Because these little areas of the Bible, I remember the amount of debates I've had, the amount of Bible study conversations I've had around these verses alone, because they seem like they stand on two opposite ends of the spectrum. Answer a fool according to his folly, and you'll be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So it's like, well, what do you do? It's why you need God to help unpack the scriptures and apply them to your life. The Holy Spirit himself really wants to increase your awareness, increase our understanding of the text itself, so that we could bring it into our own lives. You see, in this area, I want to pray, and this is my prayer for all of us today, right? My prayer is this. That our awareness of the Holy Spirit's presence would increase. Because maybe I'll speak for myself right now. This is something that I carry so close to myself. Every time I wake up, I say, Lord, help me be so very aware of how close you are. Because if we have an awareness that the Holy Spirit is in us at all times, as Jesus would say, Emmanuel, God with us. If we would have this understanding that he is with us at all times, I think our lives would change so dramatically. So dramatically. Because I always thought, man, I wish I could just be here when Jesus was on the earth. When I led a youth Bible study some years ago on a Wednesday night, I asked all the students this one question one night to say, hey, what time period am I going to live in? I still remember the one student say, I'd want to live in medieval times and want to ride a horse, wear armor, and be a knight. And I said, dude, that's so awesome. And then he said he wanted to slay dragons, and I didn't know how to break the truth to him. And I asked another one, they said, wow, I'd really want to live when Moses was here. And then I looked at him and said, I think you like bacon a little too much to live when Moses was here. And he laughed and said, yeah, that ain't happening. I said, I thought you wouldn't. And another one said, hey, I would want to live when Jesus was on the earth so I can meet Jesus. I was like, oh, that's so cool. And finally, they flipped the question back to me and they said, when would you want to live? And my response was right here, right now. I am good right here living in the time period I'm in. First of all, let me just talk about two practical reasons. One, air conditioning. Come on. And everyone said, amen. We love some air conditioning. You go back to the days of Jesus, sweat everywhere. And number two, indoor plumbing is a beautiful thing. And everyone said, amen. So there's two practical reasons, but let me share with you a spiritual reason. A spiritual reason as to why I would choose right here, right now. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is to your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor, this is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. There's a beauty in this because Jesus himself says it's actually to your advantage. It's to your benefit that I leave you in the flesh so that the Holy Spirit, rather than me being with you, but the Holy Spirit can come and live in you. And everyone said, amen. I want the Holy Spirit to be so alive inside of my life. I want God to be so alive inside of my life. And you see, if we still had Jesus on the earth with us today, I read this once and it blew my mind. If all of us tried to get 60 seconds with Jesus, if he's still on the earth today, it would take us over 30 years to get 60 seconds with Jesus of waiting in line just to get our turn. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't have 30 years to just get 60 seconds when I have a love that wants to transcend all of that, which is why he decided by the Holy Spirit he would make his presence known inside of our life. So we don't have to wait forever, but instead we can access him right here, right now. So which is why my prayer for us today is that our awareness of the Holy Spirit would grow. Because maybe you're a little bit like me. Maybe when we interact with verses like this in the Bible, when we see moments that are like, whew, what should I do? I always talk about my own patience that I need. Come on. And maybe for you, it's not patience. Maybe it's just kindness. Maybe it's goodness. And goodness, by the way, is loving the right things. Maybe for you know what your thing is. Wow, the Holy Spirit wants to bring revelation and love and wisdom to that area, which is why when we read these areas of the text that seem so opposite, I want to tell you, it's not that they seem opposite, it's that they are precious and good for different moments. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to highlight to us, hey, this is the truth you need to use now. This is what you have to do inside of this moment. So I'm sharing this with you because I don't want you to neglect the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of your life. So we can choose to either follow the Holy Spirit in our life or forsake the Holy Spirit in our life. And I want to share with you just a very simple verse from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. If you're a note taker, write this down. This is a good phone background verse. If you're like me and you're a sticky note guy who shoves them absolutely everywhere, this is the sticky note that you put on the mirror to remind yourself in the morning. But it says this: you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You see, that is John writing to the church, saying the Holy Spirit within you is greater than the one, the enemy, the adversary that is inside of the world that's looking to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. This is beautiful because no matter what situation happens in my life, I have the presence of the Holy Spirit to pull me through it, who's going to give me strength and a refreshing inside of him always. So the one who's in me is greater than the one who's inside of the world. So I can choose, and this is the choice for us today. We either follow the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, or we could forsake the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Can we all be obvious? Can we all agree today? We want to follow the presence of God in our lives today. And everyone said, amen. So we can, number one, follow or forsake. Number two, we can repent or return. Repent or return, my note takers. So verse 11 says this: as a dog returns to its vomit, so also a fool repeats his foolishness. As a dog returns to his vomit, so also a fool repeats his foolishness. Hey, how many of us, Come on, talk to me on our 6 a.m. soap Zoom. How many of us are creatures of habit? Where are my people at? Tell me, validate me in this moment. Where are my creatures of habit at? Like you could set a clock to me. I assure you, I am a deadly creature of habit. It's vicious in my life. Let me tell you this, and I really do mean this. You could set a clock. I am wildly predictable. Wildly. You could pretty much know at what time I'm going to do what. I do the same things almost every single day. And most times it doesn't matter if it's a work day and off day. It does not matter. I just get up and I do the same things every single day. You see, for me, I wake up, I have the same exact routine. As soon as my eyes open up, I walk to the fridge and I chug a glass of water. Come on, where are my water people at? Any people that are just like, yes, can't live without it? Because I know some folks, it's like water's like the plague, and I'm just praying for your hydration. But for myself, I do this every day. I wake up, I chug 22 ounces of water, I down it. I'm a big time water guy. I drink a gallon and a half every single day. So I am hydrated of hydrated of hydrated. After I chug that gallon of 22 ounces of water, I grab my cup of coffee because I'm also a caffeine guy. Where are my people at? Come on, some good old cup of coffee. I got my black cup of coffee every single morning. I don't do cream, I don't do sugar. I like to taste my coffee. After that, I go wake up my beautiful son. I walk upstairs and I bring some water up with me and we drink it together. I drink some, he drinks some, and it's a cute father-son moment that while he's trying to wake up, we drink our morning water together. Change him, get my wife and kid out the door so she can go to work. 6:45 a.m., I immediately do my devotions and I'm into the workday. Come on, you could set a clock to me. Then my nighttime routine is the same exact thing. You could set a clock to me. It's deadly. Now, here's the thing. I don't think routines are bad. I don't think routines are sinful. I don't think necessarily in and of themselves that they are bad. I actually think routines help us, especially help us get some rhythms. And then we could also habit build and habit block and habit track some things in our lives. And when we want to grow, we want to get better. But let me say this to you. When we have bad habits, bad routines, we have sinful habits, sinful routines. I want to tell you, they will land us inside of a rut. And I just want to speak to the heart of an individual today that just feels like they're in a rut. They're in the same old, you're realizing it's not a season, it's a cycle that you're inside of, and you're just going around and around and around, and maybe you're just stuck in the rut. I would dare to say, hey, maybe, I'm just saying maybe, for yourself. Maybe the routine that you're inside of right now, maybe that habit that you're stuck doing right now, that sin that's in your life right now, I want to give you an opportunity. Let's pull ourselves out of the rut today. The Holy Spirit wants to give us strength to get out of the rut today. The Spirit of God wants to give us the grace to get out of the rut today so that we can not return to our vomit, but so we can repent and go in a different direction today. Because I love the strong wording that this author uses right here. They say the dog returning to its vomit. Whew, nasty, nasty example. But I believe it's so very intentional because I have a feeling maybe you're like me and I gotta like repent a few times about some things because something happens and it's like, yeah, Jesus, I'm sorry, I won't do it again next time. And then the next time rolls around and I do it again. And the next time rolls around and I do it again. And I find myself in this vicious cycle of doing it again and doing it again, doing it again. And I'm not singing the worship song. I'm just doing it again for some reason. And then suddenly I realize, I'm like, wow, I keep on returning to my own vomit, even though Jesus has forgiven me of this. I want to let it go. I don't want to keep doing it, which is why we have the option today. We can either repent or we can return. We can return to our vomit. Or we can repent and go closer to Jesus. And this word repent itself, right? Because in our life with Jesus, it's not meant to be just an apology to God and keep doing what we want. Can I tell you, apologies, as the book of Romans would say, is a worldly sorrow versus a godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is what I would call like crocodile tears. It's tears that I feel bad in a moment, it's tears that I feel bad right now. But tomorrow, I'm going to go back to doing the same exact thing. Can I tell you, godly sorrow is filled with repentance. And repentance, as a definition, is this, right? This is from my note takers. I always try to give you guys something. Repentance, by definition, is this. I'm going in one direction, and now I'm turning face and going in a new direction. It's a full 180. I was going one way, and now I'm going a new way. I love the new way in repentance. But I think sometimes this word repentance has a negative connotation around it based on how some folks have used it, right? And I just want to apologize to all those. I was an individual that grew up in church. So when I hear all these church phrases, church terms, definitions, all that good stuff, as soon as I hear it, I'm like, ooh, that's gold. I'm writing that down. It goes in my black notebook. I put it in. And then I realize when I talk to some church folks, and maybe this is you, depending on the context you grew up in, the background you have, your family environment, you hear the word repentance and it almost sounds like a dirty word to you. And I want to apologize because if that word had been weaponized inside of your life, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I'm not speaking to the heart of the individual that used it. I'm sure their heart was in the right place. But some folks I talk to and I talk about repentance, they look at me like I'm crazy. Like I'm, and I just want to say repentance is a beautiful thing. And my heart for you today is that you would live a life of repentance, a lifestyle that says I'm continually turning from the things of my life, continually turning from my flesh, my sinful desires, and always returning or turning to the grace, the mercy, the love of Jesus that he has for us. Come on, can I get in good amen? I want to turn from my own wicked ways, my own deceitfulness, and turn to Jesus. That's repentance. So right here, depending on where you grew up, depending on what kind of background you have, we have an opportunity to repent or return. And I believe it's the heart of God for us today that we don't keep returning to the sinful habits. We don't keep returning to the things that he's forgiven us of, but instead we repent and we turn from that stuff to him. And I want to bring some grace into this. Listen, Jesus himself, as it says in 1 John 1:9, says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's beautiful because what it tells me is I can keep messing up, but his forgiveness doesn't run out. I can keep messing up, but his mercy doesn't run out. I don't keep sinning because he's merciful, because I'm not going to take advantage of the mercy of God. And in addition to that, as the Bible would tell us, that God cannot be mocked. But at the same time, I am so grateful today that even though I mess up and make mistakes, that even though I may do things that are out of character, where my people at, my imperfect people, yet in spite of all of that, he has mercy and grace on us today. And all he asks for us to do is this. It's so simple. Confess our sins. Confess them to God. Get alone and get real with him. Say, Lord, I need you. And not only confessing them to him, hey, confess it to some people around you. Hey, where are my folks at that just need some accountability? Can I tell you, I would be right. Let me speak to our church for a moment. I don't know where I would be without Pastor John Cook. Come on, where are my real ones at? Pastor John Cook has carried me through some stuff because I've just confessed to the guy. Because hey, I'm dealing with some severe disappointment right now. Hey, I am going through some stuff, Pastor John. Hey, I'm struggling with this right now. Could you like journey with me? The confession is so good. Even as the old adage go, confession is good for the soul. And we get some accountability in our life because then they start looking at you and say, hey, how are you doing with X? How are you doing with that habit that isn't good for you? How are you doing with that mindset that isn't good for you? And instead of returning to my vomit every single day, instead of going to stinking thinking every single day, I'm starting to repent and turn towards Jesus. And I've not only confessed to God, but I've confessed to people around me. They're going to help hold me accountable so I can get closer to Jesus. And I get a good amen from everyone. So, hey, we have the opportunity to follow or forsake the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have the opportunity to repent or return to our vomit. And number three, lastly, as we come to a close together today, hey, we have the opportunity to gossip or to guard. To gossip or to guard. I saw some of us, even as we were sharing the verses that stand out to us, this verse that we're going to talk about right now, and it's verse 20, and it says this: without wood, fire goes out. Without a gossip, conflict dies down. I'm going to say it again. Without wood, fire goes out. Without a gossip, conflict dies down. Have you ever seen a conflict that just wouldn't die? It's like every time you think it's over, and then you hear about it a week later, it's like it's still going. Maybe some of us have that one aunt and that one cousin that every time the cousin comes into the family party, the aunt just scoffs. I'm not speaking from experience at all. Maybe some of us have those two family members that for some reason, no matter what happens, there always seems to be gossip and drama. Oh my gosh, the drama, the drama, the drama. Listen, let me just speak to my own life. Shannon and I live a fairly, we really try to live a fairly dramaless life. We do our best to keep ourselves out of it. I don't know about you, Fusion Church. I just don't have the energy. I just don't have the energy. I'm too tired to get involved in drama nowadays. It's exhausting. I don't like the mental and emotional energy, right? But this is the beauty. This is the beauty of verses like this, right? Because they do check us in our chest a little bit. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, conflict goes down. You know, I have never seen to date one log removed from a fire and that log stay lit. Generally, the log burns out before it actually, or excuse me, generally, the fire goes out before the log burns out. And you see, when we stop throwing wood on the fire, you see, when we stop putting fuel on the fire, which is gossip, we see conflict die down. And you see, just as a fire needs wood to keep burning, a quarrel needs someone feeding it. That's one thing I've always noticed. Quarrels don't keep themselves alive. People keep them alive. And you see, when there's whispers, assumptions, behind the scenes talk, all these things keep or reignites a fire that may have already been cooling. So you see, the message is clear here, and this is for us note takers today, right? The message is clear. Remove the gossip, then peace is your reward. When you remove gossip, peace is your reward. Because when we remove the voices from the background, when we remove talking about it when it's already over, then peace becomes our reward. Because what we've been longing for inside of the situation of gossip is that we would have peace with one another. As Romans tells us, be peace with people as much as it depends on you. If you want the reward of peace, let me share with you, stop talking about it. Right? Because generally speaking, can we just like let's all be honest with each other for a second. Let's bring ourselves into reality for us. The truth is this: if we would just go to an individual and have a one-on-one conversation, it would all be over. Matthew chapter 18 has the remedy for gossip. If a brother sins against you, go and talk to them. But there's no reason to talk to five or six other people. There's very few people in my life that I'll ever go to and let's say not even so much venting, but hey, I want your insight on this, right? There are very, very few. But all of that is to always go to someone and have a conversation with them because we need to get resolution with the individual it's with. If you talk to everybody before the person, if you have a conversation with every single person walking the earth, and obviously I mean overdramatic, rather than just going and talk to them, can I tell you that it's just going to create quarrel and conflict? Just go to an individual, have a healthy conversation. And I want to tell you, hey, maybe you're not in the center of the conflict, but you're someone that they're going to. Let me say this: gossip dies when it hits wise ears. As soon as it hits wise ears, we should be doing one of two things. I'm either going to give counsel of this is how you go and address it with that individual directly. I love you. I am not here to, I'll give you a hug. But if you've ever come to me for advice with concerning someone else, you've heard me say this, go talk to them. There's nothing I can really do for you to bring peace to your soul. You have to go have a conversation. And please hear me. I'm an individual, always say, I'm a highly offensive person. Not intentionally. It's just God has used me to be sandpaper in some people's lives. Hey, come talk to me. We need to make sure that we are creating a clear line of communication so we can have love in the center of it. I want to make sure that every person that is entering into conflict finds peace and resolution inside of Jesus as they engage with them. And I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is this: righteous peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. But we see the kingdom of God expressed through people, and this is through relationships with one another. So if we have unhealthy relationships, we will have unhealthy kingdom of God inside of our lives. So my proposal to you is this: we can gossip or we can guard. I want to choose to guard today. I'm going to guard someone's reputation. I'm going to guard our relationship. I'm going to guard our peace together. Because I will tell you this, the enemy, if he cannot take you out through catastrophe, he will take you out through corrosion. Catastrophe can come into our lives, and that's the moment when we have to say, God, I trust you in the middle of the storm. Or he will try and take us out through corrosion, where he takes out one piece at a time. And I want to tell you, gossip so often will begin to take out one piece at a time, where we're just having the corner conversations all day long. Can I tell you, go talk to your boss. Your coworker ain't gonna talk to them for you. Go talk to them directly. I didn't like the way you said this to me. It made me feel like this. Period. That's all I need. I need to speak to you. I want to make sure we're on the same page, we're going in the same direction. Hey, that coworker, hey, that friend, hey, that family member, hey, that spouse. Go talk to them. Have the conversation. Because here's the thing: I want to guard our relationship. I want to guard our peace. I want to guard what God is doing inside of this moment. So we have the option to gossip or to guard. So my question for you is this: when you're fired up, what do you do? When you are, and I mean like, whew, heated, what do you do? Who do you complain to? Come on, who do you go and talk to when you're dealing with it, whatever it is for you? And I tell you, there was a conviction I had from the Holy Spirit recently, which is why we have the option to forsake or follow. I was doing a little bit of complaining to my wife recently. How many of us complain to our spouses? I was just really, really frustrated about something. And it had been frustrating me, let's say, probably like for a couple months. And I just go on to her over and over again. I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm praying. I don't know what to do, right? Go back and forth, back and forth. And after a couple of months, the Holy Spirit was like, why do you keep talking to someone who can't change anything? And I stopped and I was like, well, she comforts me. And she said, yeah, if you complain to the flesh, you complain to people, they'll comfort you. But if you complain to God, he'll change it for you. So why not complain to the one who will change it for us? So I'm sharing this with you because I feel like sometimes when we feel the urge to go gossip, can I propose to you instead talk to Jesus about it? Because he's the one that will change hearts. He's the one that will change situations. He's the one that will make it clear to you as to what you're supposed to do. And I find beauty in this because James 5:9 says this, brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. You see, I love this because, and I know some of us, if we hear about like Jesus's judge, we might like the hairs on our neck stand up. Let me share this with you. Not all judgment is bad. I really enjoy this because the judgment that comes from God when we complain to him is peace. The judgment he renders is joy. The judgment he renders is good relationships, which is why we want to go directly to him. Because people can comfort us, but God will change us. Now, why is God so intrigued and so passionate about what comes out of our mouths, right? Where we have this gossip or guard. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this: the power of life and death are inside of the tongue. Whoo. Man, and how many of us, let's be honest, how many of us have maybe spoken some death recently? Ooh, we've spoken maybe a little bit of discouragement. And by the way, to discourage someone means to remove courage from them, right? I feel like that makes sense. To encourage someone means to put courage in them. So when I talk to them, I make them feel like they can go and handle and tackle the world. In comparison, discouragement, I'm removing it from you. Right, I'm taking it out of you. I'm making you feel deflated and less than. Right, whoo, man. Maybe some of us have been there. I know I definitely have been there often. Yet God wants us to speak life. Can I challenge all of us today? No matter where you're at, no matter where you're at with your walk with Christ, no matter where you're at in your relationships, I want to give you an open challenge today. Let's all challenge ourselves. Can we speak life to someone today? Can we go and encourage someone intentionally today? Can we go to them and say, hey, I noticed you did this and acknowledge them? Can we actually share some love today? Because how many of us are in this sinful spot? Because I do this all the time. I see it, but I don't say anything. I see it, love it, wow, they're doing great, but I say nothing. Hey, can we go out of our way to build people up today? Can we go out of our way to speak life today to the coworker, to the friend, to the spouse? And because I think so many of us need encouragement often, yet we won't see it happen unless we start encouraging others, because the one who refreshes others is refreshed themselves. So I'm giving you this challenge today. Go refresh somebody. Set it as your phone background, put it on your steering wheel, put it over your speedometer. Not really, don't quote that. But hey, refresh someone today. The cashier at Wawa needs encouragement. The gas station attendant needs encouragement. That person at McDonald's taking your order, the one that's upset that you asked for extra sauce, needs encouragement. So, hey, can we be the ones, can we be the church that rather than gossiping, guards the relationship and guards the hearts of other people? And let's be the ones that speak life today. So, hey, we have these three options. With the presence of God in our life, we can follow or forsake. In addition to that, we have the option to either repent or return. We either turn to Jesus, or we can repent to Jesus, or we can return to the things that harm us. And lastly, we can gossip or guard. We can talk about people. We can talk about things, or we can guard relationships and guard people and say, instead, I want to see God's peace, His mercy, love reign inside of our lives. And let's give some people some encouragement. Can I get a good amen from everybody? Hey, let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, that your word is so beautiful. That God, even though at times some verses may seem contradictory, but instead you're trying to add a new layer of wisdom to our lives. So, Holy Spirit, I'm so grateful that you want to speak to us today. You want to highlight the text, show us what to apply and when. And God, as we learn to follow you and not forsake you, as we learn to cling to you, as we learn to cleave to you, God, I just pray that you would help us build up others. You would help us see the needs of others, that you would help us encourage others. So God, I'm grateful that you're not so us focused. You are us focused, but you're not so us focused that we're not others focused. So Lord, will help us become a little more others focused today, that we speak life into other people's lives. And we pray this in Jesus' matchless name. Everyone said, Amen. Amen. Hey, Fusion Church, I love you all. Have an incredible day.